are listening to WGXC Acra, Hudson, Catskill, 90.7 FM.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acra, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. Today we have election results for you. Yesterday was the congressional special election and congressional primary elections throughout the Hudson Valley. We'll hear the results in just a second on the local news. Plus, we'll also hear about the Climate Action Council, the state's effort to slow global warming. We'll hear a summary of the August 23rd meeting of the council. Plus, we'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned. Friday, August 26th, turn out or tune in to The Shy Boys, Spy Roden, and G. Lucas Crane and Rick Royer performing at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill, 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. Shy Boys are similar to Ween, and Spy Roden plays fast and furious rock, and Rick Royer and G. Lucas Crane do the absurdist radio show I Have Seen Niagara that airs Saturday mornings on WGXC. You can turn out to the Avalon Lounge in Catskill Friday, August 26th from 8 to 11 p.m. or tune into a live WGXC web stream at WGXC.org and a broadcast on 90.7 FM. That's Friday, August 26th at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org.
WGXC underwriting support has been provided by Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Allow DPS to turn your audiovisual how-do-I's into here's-how-you-cans. Visit dedicatedpresentation.com or call 845-475-8465 for more information. Dedicated Presentation Solutions, your audiovisual partner.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of One Universal Media of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Paul Kirby reports in the Daily Freeman that Johanna Contreras, the current deputy Ulster County executive, is now poised to become the county executive through December. Contreras was appointed deputy in January and will now assume the role after the current executive, Pat Ryan, won the August 23rd contest for the 19th congressional district seat. Ryan will face Republican State Assembly member Colin Schmidt in a race for the newly drawn 18th congressional district seat in November. Contreras previously worked in the Office of Management and Budget in New York City, most recently serving as the Assistant Director for Education. She holds a master's degree in urban policy analysis from the Milano School of Policy, Management, and environment at the new school. In a statement issued August 24th, Contreras said she was ready to serve. Quote, the results of last night's special election for the New York 19 congressional seat are in the process of being certified. After they are certified and the county executive Ryan becomes our congressman, I will be ready to take the oath of office to become acting county executive through this transition period, unquote, Contreras said. Quote, until then, I am thrilled to congratulate Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan and to continue my work as his deputy, unquote. In July, Ryan said he had amended the line of succession for executive, putting Contreras at the top of the list to succeed him if, for any reason, he could not fulfill the duties of his office. In line behind Contreras is Deputy County Executive Christopher Kelly, followed by County Director of Economic Development Tim Wiedemann. The Ulster County Democratic Committee will hold a nominating convention in mid-September to choose a candidate to run for county executive if Ryan is elected to Congress. An exact date will be determined by the end of this week, according to Chair Kelly McKenzie. The December special election would decide who would serve out the remainder of Ryan's term as county executive, which expires December 31st, 2023. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
Democrat Pat Ryan's victory in a special election that ended August 23rd over Republican Mark Molinaro got international attention. The Guardian newspaper wrote that, and I quote, the election took on outsized national importance and became a testing ground for both parties' campaign strategies. Ryan made the U.S. Supreme Court's decision to overturn abortion rights a centerpiece of his campaign, mobilizing Democrats outraged by the ruling. Molinaro focused on crime and soaring inflation that voters say is the most pressing concern, end quote. Ryan defeated Molinaro 51.3% to 48.7% in the final election of the current 19th congressional district. The new district stretches farther west to Binghamton and Ithaca, where the new nominee, Josh Riley, hails from. Riley faces Molinaro in the general election for the new 19th congressional district in November. Ryan, the incumbent in New York 19, will instead run for Congress in the new 18th congressional district against Republican Assemblyperson Colin Schmidt. Ryan's victory to fill the final weeks of Antonio Delgado's seat is being taken as a good sign for Riley and other congressional Democrats in November. The 538.com website wrote, and I quote, there have been four first-past-the-post special House elections since the Supreme Court decision overturning federal abortion rights, and Democrats have outperformed their expected margins in those elections by an average of 9 points, end quote.
The Columbia Green Media reports that a stolen vehicle was recovered safely and the man accused of stealing it was taken into custody with the help of modern technology last weekend, Lieutenant Mark Dunsball of the Columbia County Sheriff's Office said August 24th. The stolen vehicle, a 2019 Chevrolet Spark, was equipped with a GPS-enabled security system that allowed police to track and stop the vehicle. On August 20th, around 7 p.m., Columbia County Sheriff's Deputies Stephen Rose and Connor Grazzanio were sent by county dispatch to School Street in Chatham after learning that a vehicle had allegedly been taken about 30 minutes before it was reported stolen, Dunsball said. Deputies were able to contact the security company and request help locating the vehicle. Within minutes, the car was found, traveling south on Route 66 in the area of High Bridge Road in Chatham. Deputies caught up to the vehicle. The driver did not stop, so they asked the security company to turn off the car's engine, and it came to an abrupt stop in the village of Chatham. A short foot pursuit occurred, and the man was taken into custody. He was charged with fourth-degree criminal possession of the stolen property, driving while intoxicated, and driving without a license. He was released with appearance tickets returnable to Chatham Village Court. The security device installed in the vehicle used both GPS as well as wireless phone technology in the location process. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Mara Rosner reports for Columbia Green Media that new housing may be coming to Durham as the Durham Town Board approved several new subdivisions. Town Supervisor Sean Marriott and Council Members Joan Breslin, Lisa Cirillo, and Ed Kerrigan have voted in favor of four new subdivisions in the town. The entire Hudson Valley is in an affordable housing crisis, as longtime residents are being forced out because they cannot afford the rising cost of renting an apartment or purchasing a home. Many wealthy New York City residents moved north during the COVID-19 pandemic, driving up prices. In April, the Durham Town Board also gave preliminary approval for a 12-home subdivision on 95 acres in the hamlet of Cornwallville. And you can read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Mid-Hudson News is reporting buses will replace trains on the Wasaic branch of the Metro North Railroad Harlem Valley line from September 12th through November 20th while track work is underway, the railroad announced on August 24th. Regular service will operate between Grand Central Terminal and Southeast. A detailed bus schedule is now being finalized and will be available soon. Information is available online at new.mta.info. Read more about this story at midhudsonnews.com.
Kate Lisa is reporting for NewYorkStateOfPolitics.com. Cesarean births take place in New York at more than twice the rate recommended by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. With a rate of 34%, New York ranks 12th in the country for deliveries by C-section. Surgical births can be necessary to save the lives of mother and child, but many occur out of convenience, inadequate communications, or education with the patient, and implicit bias. Assemblymember Amy Paulin, a Democrat from Scarsdale, is sponsoring four pieces of legislation to improve the state's surgical birth and maternal mortality rates. One was recently signed into law requiring hospitals to post the last 5 years of data surrounding maternity procedures like C-sections and episiotomies on their website. Making the data public will help pregnant women to make informed decisions and lead to improved related policy and research. The rate of cesarean births and risk are significantly higher among black women and people of color, and the maternal mortality rate for black women was more than four times greater than white women in 2018, according to the state health department. Black babies are four to six times more likely to die than white babies. Fallon continues to work on two pieces of legislation that failed to progress this session to create a cesarean birth review board to lower the rate in New York and require a health provider to provide written communication about the risk to each woman who schedules or has a cesarean delivery. Governor Kathy Hochul's signature would provide a premium reduction for physicians and licensed midwives who complete a midwifery or obstetrics risk management course. Former Governor Andrew Cuomo vetoed the measure in 2019, and Hochul has not indicated if she will sign the measure. Stressing that DOH is working with community partners to address the issue, State Health Commissioner Dr. Mary T. Bassett said, and I quote, "The path to progress on maternal mortality must address racial disparities in outcomes through an integrated approach that spans the entirety of the healthcare system," end quote. Read the full story at New York State of Politics.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Thursday, sunny with a high near 86 degrees. Thursday night, mostly clear with a temperature low of around 63 degrees. And on Friday, there will be a slight chance of showers, then a chance of showers and thunderstorms after 11 a.m. Otherwise, it will be mostly sunny with a temperature high near 86 degrees. And Friday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly before 8 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 63 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Thursday, August 25th, tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the air at WGXC, including at 11 a.m. Hear music from Kartik Kumar on the Transformational Listening Show. And at noon on the All Mixed Up Show, there's sounds from Alison Pomphier, Petra Hayden, and Sylvian Esso, among others. At 3 p.m., it's time to turn on the news with a madman from Manhattan. And then at 7 p.m., Ben Friedlander is the featured artist on the Poet Radio Show from Chris Funkhauser. And we tune in some radio stations at 8 p.m. and Andrew O'Connor's Disco 3000 show live from Montreal at 9 p.m. And then Ted Barron is live in Hudson with the Boogie Woogie Flu at 10 p.m. on the air at 90.7 FM, WGXC.
To get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
Turn out or tune in to two of the world's greatest percussionists performing in Catskill at the Avalon Lounge on October 16th from 8 to 10 p.m. Composers and percussionists Tatsuya Nakatani and Bobby Previtt perform with a live web stream at wgxc.org. Turn out or tune in for Tatsuya Nakatani and Bobby Previtt performing at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill on Sunday, October 16th from 8 to 10 p.m. Find out more in the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
WGXC welcomes audio responses from listeners. Anyone can call and leave a message with WGXC, and we'll play it on the air. Call 518-291-WGXC and leave up to a 3-minute message for airplay. Hear something you disagree with? Want to speak out on an issue? Plug your band's show? Let your neighbors know something important? Call 518-291-9492 and leave a 3-minute message anytime about any issue. That number again is 518-291-WGXC. 518-291-9492.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Thursday, August 25th. Local early morning temperatures range from 57 degrees in Freehold to 64 over at Bard College. Regional average soil temperature is 69 degrees. And a cool morning gets sticky by noon with dew points in the mid-60s and a high temperature of 89 at 4 p.m. Some might tease you with chances of isolated rain this afternoon, but I wouldn't dream of doing that to you. It gets comfortable again after 11 p.m., then we see a low of 63 degrees before a wet-looking Friday with a stormy afternoon and a high of 86. Rain ends after dark and we see a low of 65. Saturday will have isolated afternoon showers and a high of 82. Sunday is looking similar, afternoon rain and a high of 85. Pollen levels for today will be high. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 2:26 a.m., low tide at 9:08 a.m., high tide again at 2:58 p.m., and low tide once again at 9:04 p.m. Today's tide strength will be high. Today's river temperature will be 79 degrees. Sunset today will be at 7:29 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:10 a.m. Looking way up, we see astronomers are watching sunspot AR3088, which has curiously flipped on its side. And we will have a bump in plasma levels as we hit a stream coming from a southern coronal hole early next week. Solar wind speed is currently 406.8 kilometers per second at 0.5 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 15 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 1, quiet. The current sunspot number is 46. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Timothy Simmons of New York, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to WGXC.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Most radio shows don't come with a demonstration, but most radio shows aren't Radio Wonderland.
Greatest hits.
Right, so then I take more pieces of live radio, slice them, fit them into the groove, and then in a few minutes you get something like...
Back in LA, some restrictions apply.
It's radio made completely out of radio. I'm Joshua, but you just call me Radio Wonderland.
10:30 a.m. Saturday mornings till 11.
Some restrictions apply.
2 weeks, 14 days, 326 hours. Every second that your family could be exposed to radiation after a nuclear attack. Radiation that kills.
To survive, a fallout shelter is a necessity. Equipment and supplies are essential.
Now, Survive All Shelters, one of the nation's leading manufacturers of fallout shelters, offers a basic equipment kit. With
a Conelrad high-powered radio, transistor-operated for long battery life.
A complete, fully stocked first aid kit.
A heavy-duty fire extinguisher, emergency water containers, a chemical toilet for protection against contamination and disease.
Extra-strength Saran and Rayon bunks.
A radiation meter and individual dosimeters.
For protection every second of each hour of every day. See a survive-all shelter now.
You took a swig and then you take a crack. You're running quick, but you're running off the track. One day's to break the fall, one way to take us all to the shore. Can't say it's what you're barking for. It's forever at the push of a button. Push of a button. golden rod. Took a taste and then you spit it back up. You threw the rock just to watch it splash. Sick as a dog and you're digging through the trash. One taste to break the fall. One way to take us all to shore. Kiss, it's what you're bargaining for. It's forever at the push of a button. Up to the edge of 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 the edge. To the edge of 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 the edge. To the edge of the edge of the edge.
That was 2022 new music from Panda Bear from Animal Collective and Sonic Boom. The song's called Edge of the Edge on 90.7 FM WGXC.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
I made a commitment that would provide student debt relief, and I'm honoring that commitment today.
President Joe Biden announced $10,000 in student loan forgiveness for borrowers earning less than $125,000 annually, and up to $20,000 for Pell Grant recipients. Missouri Republican Senator Roy Blunt called it a handout.
The top 40% of American households hold 60% of the student loans. The bottom 40% have less than 20% of the student loans. Maybe we should be talking about the bottom 40% of incomes, not essentially the top 40%.
An analysis from the nonpartisan Penn Wharton budget model estimates the plan will cost $300 to $980 billion over 10 years. The president, however, argues it's reasonable and fair.
It focuses the benefit on middle class and working families. It helps both current and future borrowers, and will fix a badly broken system.
Biden also extended the current freeze on federal student loan repayments. The most intense stretch of the 2022 primary season ended Tuesday. While Republicans predict a landslide in November, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says Democrats have reason for hope. She pointed to New York, where Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan defeated his Republican counterpart in a special election.
We had a big victory. People were stunned by the fact that in a district that was not supposed to go Democratic, that it did.
Also in New York, Representative Jerry Nadler beat out Representative Carolyn Maloney for the Democratic nomination in the state's new 12th congressional district. And Attorney Dan Goldman, who worked on former President Donald Trump's first impeachment, narrowly beat a handful of more progressive rivals for a congressional seat. In GOP races, Trump-backed Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz defended a seat against former FedEx executive Mark Lombardo. And in Oklahoma's Republican primary runoff election for U.S. Senate, Congressman Mark Wayne Mullen defeated banking executive T.W. Shannon. There are four state primaries remaining before the November 8th general election, Massachusetts on September 6th, and Delaware, New Hampshire, and Rhode Island on September 13th. Texas abortion trigger law goes into effect today. Elizabeth Sepper, a law professor at the University of Texas at Austin, explains it toughens the punishment for those performing an illegal abortion, except in cases where the mother's life is in danger.
But the Texas homicide statute defines an individual and causing the death of an individual. An individual is an unborn child from a fertilized egg onward. So people can face liability under a penal statute even if they are not the ones who perform an abortion.
Meanwhile, a federal judge in Texas on Tuesday blocked federal guidance requiring hospitals to provide emergency abortions to women regardless of state bans. The judge ruled it went beyond the text of a related federal law and ignores the provisions stating the health of the fetus must be considered. I'm Mary Sherman for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find RE Trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A new NBC News poll released August 21st had a surprising finding. The most concerning issue in America among voters polled was threats to democracy over the cost of living and jobs and the economy. The survey was conducted jointly by Democratic and Republican polling firms who asked 1,000 people a wide range of questions about politics and the economy just after the raid on former President Trump's Florida home. When asked what was the most important issue facing the country, 21% of polled voters indicated threats to democracy, followed by 16% for cost of living and 14% for jobs and the economy. Polls earlier this year had cost of living as the number one issue. There were questions regarding the investigation of the January 6th committee. 57% agreed with the statement, "These investigations should continue because if there is wrongdoing by Donald Trump, he needs to be held accountable just like anyone else," versus 40% who agreed with, "These investigations should not continue because they're politically motivated against a former president and divide the country." 50% of voters polled hold the former president solely or mainly responsible for the January 6th insurrection. Sadly, 58% believe America's best days are behind it, which the poll shows is the highest percentage on this question dating back to 1990. Links to articles and the poll itself can be found at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
That was 2022 local music, Matthew O'Neill from Phoenicia. The song was called Listen from his album Songs of Connection on WGXC. New WGXC programmer Matthew O'Neill has a record release show at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill on September 3rd at 8 p.m. His new album is called Connection. On the bill of the record release show is Morgan O'Kane opening and Otto Hauser playing DJ during the show. Again, that's Saturday, September 3rd at 8 to 11 p.m. at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. And there'll also be a live WGXC.org web stream and a broadcast on 90.7 FM. So turn out or tune in for the Matthew O'Neill record release show, Saturday, September 3rd at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. Next on the radio, we tune in Phoenicia's Matthew O'Neill, who does a radio show on WGXC. This is from his 2022 album, Songs of Connection. It's called Wrong Response.
We got the wrong response to every problem, because you don't see things correctly. Go back to the places that they left. Go back to remember what they forget. It was passed down. It's not your fault. Yeah, it's time to reconnect with your kid. And we're flying on the wings of a dove. We are waking up the ones that we love. Yesterday he was an eagle. Tomorrow he'll be a man. Standing up and resisting globalization. Pristine hair.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We're joined by Dave Ellis with the Rensselaer Environmental Coalition, who has been on Hudson Mohawk Magazine quite a bit, talking about the Dunn landfill. And on Thursday, August 25th, they held a press conference about the Dunn landfill. So Dave, what was the focus of the press conference?
Well, the news conference we held on Thursday, August 25th, was calling on the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation to get it right this time when they examine the renewal applications for the Dunn C&D landfill in the city of Rensselaer, directly next to the Rensselaer School. 99-acre facility accepts construction and demolition waste from seven different Northeast states. During the original permitting process in 2012, DEC took the final environmental impact statement from the Dunn landfill, and the Dunn landfill basically refuted all the concerns from the community about the facility's operations and future impacts. So that's what the focus of the meeting was all about.
Now, I understand back in May, the Rensselaer Environmental Coalition submitted a 10-page analysis of the original permit process to DEC, detailing a lot of the inadequacies in the original permit review process. Has the coalition received any response from DEC to the problems it outlined?
To date, there has been no response at all from DEC whatsoever. That information was sent to Basil Sagos, the head of DEC, as well as other officials within DEC. Like you said, Mark, that 10-page analysis of the original permit process we submitted to DEC on May 2nd, detailing the inadequacies in the original permit review process. As far as the final environmental impact statement, things like truck traffic, dust and air quality, property values, and the school proximity. Also, in that 10-page analysis, we made recommendations to DEC how they can address these issues going forward.
What are some of the key problems that, you know, need to be handled differently this time around?
Well, one of the biggest issues is definitely the proximity of the landfill to the Rensselaer Public School District. I have some excerpts from the original review. One question or concern from the public was actually the facility's close proximity to the school. The response from the Dunn landfill engineers was that there are no anticipated adverse impacts to the Rensselaer schools associated with the proposed C&D facility. They also said that the landfill is not considered to be located proximal to the school. If anybody has been up there, that's a complete bogus, like, made-up statement. It's pretty hilarious that somebody would say that, Mark. The facility itself is literally 200 feet from the school's baseball field and less than 1,000 feet to the school. So there needs to be a hard look at all these issues, and DEC really needs to do something about it.
Can you walk us through the permit process? I understand that the initial permit has now lapsed. When does DEC actually get serious about reviewing the permit?
So, Mark, the original permit for the Dunn facility expired on August 19th of this year. They've been operating on an expired permit for over a month already, and DEC regulations allow that because the facility submitted the renewal application in a timely fashion. Now, going forward, the Dunn facility is required to hold a second environmental justice hearing. They held their first one more than a month ago, or a few months back, actually, and they have not provided any response from any of the questions from the community with concerns. So DEC needs to wait till they hold their second environmental justice hearing before DEC can then hold their own hearings on the proposed renewal application. It can be a long, dragged-out process. Dunn also has to respond to DEC's denial of the renewal application because it lacked a lot of information DEC was requiring going forward. And that can, they can hold that process going forward. They can drag it on for up to a year. So we have no clue what's going on with this facility, and DEC is not getting us much of a response.
Now, I see in your news advisory that the waste haul is actually bringing up to 100,000 pounds of debris into the facility down the Partition Street on a daily basis. Is that, you know, still the level of the truck traffic?
Well, the truck traffic, under the permit, they're allowed up to 100 trucks a day in an ounce. So that's 200 passes. People pass residential homes up and down Partition Street. People familiar with the geographic area, Partition Street is extremely steep. They're going down. A lot of these trucks are using compression air brakes, which is in violation of city regulation. So the noise level around people's homes, the diesel exhaust, and then going back up the hill is even much louder. These trucks can weigh up to 100,000 pounds, and that's a lot of weight on the city infrastructure. We have seen reductions in the amount of truck traffic. We're not seeing as many trucks, but the ones that are coming through are still impacting the community. We're asking that DEC, going forward, take a hard look at the renewal application and that they make the right decision that this facility is unsafe and unfit to continue operating in our community. And several staffers have previously admitted, actually, that mistakes were made in the past.
Now, you know, it seems like it's been a couple of years that local residents have been complaining, I guess 2012 is when the original permit was from, about the odor and dust, and there's always announcements, oh, we've taken this step and that step. Has the situation with the odor and dust at all improved in recent months or years?
There have been less complaints, honestly, about odors. I think a lot of people do not feel comfortable calling the 24 hotline that's answered by a call center that answers the phone as S.A. Dunn and Company. People are not getting responses from DEC when they make complaints. So it's a big transparency issue, honestly. Myself, I just recently on Sunday, I was coming home from a family picnic. As soon as I got home, the hydrogen sulfide odor from the rotten gypsum drywall at the facility was overpowering. It smelled really bad, like rotten egg, and other people were complaining as well. Yes, the odors have slightly decreased, but no, they have not gone away, and no, they never will go away.
My understanding is that, you know, some of the local governments, City of Rensselaer, have spoken out against this facility. Are they going to put any resources into fighting the permit renewal?
Yeah, so the City of Rensselaer Common Council, Rensselaer Mayor Mike Stammel, the Town of East Greenbush, Rensselaer City School District, Questar Bosse's, the Rensselaer County Legislature, all of those organizations have all called on the dump to be closed. They've sent letters, they sent resolutions to DEC calling on the landfill's closure. So going forward, these groups are all going to use their authority and their power to pressure DEC to close the dump. They're speaking on behalf of the residents of their communities, the children, and they have a strong voice as our representatives. So we look forward to working with them going forward.
Have you heard anything recently from either particularly Governor Hochul, but also the new lieutenant governor, at least represented part of Rensselaer County, Antonio Delgado? You know, where is that ticket stood on this issue since they're both running for re-election at the moment?
So many of us have sent emails, fax messages. We printed a half-page ad in the Times Union calling on Governor Hochul to use her authority to respond to the issue. We were trying to invite her to an event in Rensselaer. They have been completely silent on the issue. Nothing from the governor. The governor instructed DEC to send the Rensselaer Environmental Coalition a form letter that she acknowledged she received. Some kind of letter we sent about concerns. But besides that, she's not doing the speaking for herself. She's putting it on DEC, and that does not show the residents of our community that she cares about the issue.
Okay, we're out of time. Dave Ellis, Rensselaer Environmental Coalition, you have a website, Facebook page people can follow to get more information?
As always, they can go to stopdun.org or find us on Facebook at Rensselaer Environmental Coalition.
Thank you very much, and this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Next, we hear 2022 new music from Chris Forsythe. The song is a cover of Richard and Linda Thompson's You're Going to Need Somebody from the 2022 album Evolution, Here We Come.
You're lost in the dark and you can't find a way. The night is
Here's Nigerian guitarist Madur Maktur with the song Umur Har, drum machine version, from the 2022 album Niger EP Volume 1.